Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, right now, we present ourselves to you. We thank you for your word. I just pray that any distraction leave this room right now. Holy Spirit, that we will not be distracted to what you want to deposit in our lives, in our hearts this morning. We lift ourselves up. We lift our hearts, our minds, our eyes to you, the maker of heaven and earth. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, declare that you have freedom to come and manifest yourself, to come and touch people in their seats right now. You have freedom to touch minds, touch spirit, restore bodies. Holy Spirit, move is our prayer this morning. We worship you. We thank you for who you are. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen? So the first thing about this psalm, and we're going to be breaking it apart because it has been part of my devotional in this last season, is that this psalm is actually a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. So this psalm talks about a journey that David had and probably other people that were together with David on their way to Jerusalem. But you can look, Eduardo, I'm here this morning. I'm not moving. I'm not going to Jerusalem this week. How does this word apply to my life? I believe that our lives is made of processes. And our life is like a marathon. You probably heard this before. You have a road ahead. God has so many things that he wants to do in your life. And life is a journey. So everybody here is in the journey. Amen? We have some people that are newer in their faith here. That's probably their first time to church. And if this is your first time, amazing. We would love to meet you at the end. But we may have people that have been here with the Lord for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. I was telling Pastor Sean this year that some of this worrying that has been going in my mind is that I've been around church, gave my life to Jesus, even though I kind of grew up because both my grandparents, one was a Presbyterian pastor, the other one, great-grandparents, was a Baptist pastor. You put two together, and you make somebody that experienced Holy Spirit. But anyways, I grew up in this setting, but I consider my personal decision, I got saved, I got dunked when I was 13. I'm 38, so that makes a lot of years in faith, amen? Any people good in math, they would know 25 years since I gave my life to Jesus. And I've seen a lot in this journey. And I had moments of really high highs and moments of really low lows. Had and was tempted many times to give up. Saw two of my friends that brought me to Jesus today, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. It's hard. But I stay strong with a word that was given, a prophetic word that it was given to me when I was 22 years old at this church that I was part in Brazil, that he saw a picture of my class, graduating class, and it was a Christian school back in Brazil, that I had all the students, and all of them, it was myself included, it was my class, we were the first graduating class, and all of them began to disappear from the picture. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started to bring them back. So I have faith that those that one day brought me to Jesus will come back to his love. So we are all in a journey. And I want to encourage you to not give up. But your war is going to be here. When economy doesn't go the way that you do. When life doesn't go the way that you expect it to go. When you're tempted, say, man, you know what? I'm going to throw in the towel. had many moments of that in my life. We all have challenges. KC, we have our own challenges. We would love to have a building. I know lots of us like love to come here early morning, hang out, drink our McDonald's coffee, be here for 6:30. We would love to have our own building to leave stuff set up and not deal with. Today we had a broken power adapter in our camera. We weren't going to be able to record, but we have a blessed individual in the house, Doug and his wife, Christelle. He was able to bring a camera from his work so that we're recording here, so that the people that watch online, if you're watching online, be grateful that we have a camera this week. And I'm also grateful because that would mean that I would have to record the same message this week again. But anyways, I'm thankful that we are blessed and God looks after every single detail. Nothing escapes his mighty hand. Amen? So this psalm talks about this journey. And we got to understand that from the day that we were born until the day that we die, we will always be on this journey. That's why Paul encourages us to keep our faith. Keep our faith during this journey. Keep, because there is great reward for those that don't give up, those that persevere until the end. So today, my message title is Warring for Our Journey. And I want to begin by reading, breaking apart this message. Verse 1 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Always that I shared this, I think, in a pre-experience once. I always thought of this passage. It said, oh, man, what a beautiful picture. You think of, like, that windows background, oh, like green pastures, blue skies. And you think of David walking up and looking. He lifts his head and he looks up to the mountains and say, man, my help comes from God, the beautiful creator of heaven and earth. But actually, if you go study, it was very common for the people back then to put on top of mounts and mountains idols and offerings to the idols. They would set up little altars, little temples for the idols. So when David was on his journey to Jerusalem and he lifted up his head, he saw, man, this is the God of money. This is the God of whatever it is, the sun, whatever people would worship back then. And he said, hey, I look up, I have many options to trust. I could trust my finances. I could trust that I could take good care of myself. I can trust whatever God. But he says, no, when I'm facing all these fake gods, all these false gods, all the things that are not the right things to believe, I decide to lift up my eyes to see the King of Kings, who is more powerful than any other idol. So when it's so powerful, when we understand that, this principle that David establishes that he seeks help from God, but it wasn't that he had a lack of options. His eyes were constantly tempted to trust other things. And I think that more than any other season, we are tempted to look at so many places. One of the things that we have been, I think this is the last week, we have been on an 8-week fast since April 3rd. And this Wednesday, I think, marks the last Wednesday that we are fasting. And amongst other things, one of the things that I'm fasting is social media. And it is, man, you realize how much you get addicted and you start pulling information and you're constantly looking back at social media. Especially, and then like seeing, like, whoa, we got to change my mind. I got to renew my mind because we waste so much time on things that are robbing our attention. I'm not saying social media is all bad. There's a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of good resources, but so many times we're wasting because there's so many options, and all these options have been robbing our personal faith, our personal experience with God. Another principle that established on this psalm is that many options, like I said, will present themselves, but you need to remind your soul that your help comes from the person of Jesus. And today is Pentecost Sunday. And when he talks about a help, Jesus said, I will go, but I will send a helper. In John, we don't have that in the notes because I added after. It says in John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach things, you all things, and remind you of all that I said to you. He is our helper. He is the one that we are putting our trust in this season. Or at least he's available and he says, I'm ready to help you. When you did all that you could, when you tried praying all the prayers, he says that he, Holy Spirit, is the one that helps us intercede, that helps us to pray what we should pray when we don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit is the one that's beside you when you face any challenging situation in your life. Any adversity in life, you always have available help. The last song we sing is that everywhere we went, he's there. It's a declaration of Psalms 139. You can go wherever you go, he is there. God is there. Holy Spirit is there to help. So we need to acknowledge that need, that you are not alone. But there will be moments in your journey that is represented, our journey and everybody's journey in this place is made of moments of valley and moments of high tops, mountaintops. And it's so important, no matter how you face these situations, to keep your mind renewed in God. You see so many people that became successful, prosper according to the world standards, that live such an empty life, that are frustrated, that money is never enough. And you can have everything or you can have nothing, but the reality is that the only thing that will keep you in the right place along the journey is reminding yourself, renewing your minds, that he is your helper. It's not what the world says, you are a successful man, you are not a successful man. No, everybody has their own journey, and Jesus is there with you. He wants, of course, to prosper you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to experience what he has for you. Amen? Another thing that I love, verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Every person that creates something has governing authority over what he created. Steve Jobs created the iPhone. With the iPhone, he had a purpose. And it began developing, evolving, and it's been, I think, 16 is the next one. I don't know. I don't even know. 16 different versions. But he knew all the functionalities in this. He knew what he wanted to achieve. He had a vision for what, when he was creating the very first version, when it barely worked to even, I don't know, use the internet or send pictures, whatever it is, and now you can play almost like better than your video games, whatever, you can do so much stuff. People use this for everything but their phones. People don't like phone calls. They use everything but not the actual phone. But this was the purpose of Steve Jobs and behind the iPhone. So which means that God, who is the maker of heaven and earth, has authority over every single thing he has created. It's not your difficulty. It's not, and I said this from the platform before, we have ease in saying, oh, this is my struggle, this is my challenge, this is the thing that I'm going through. We have an ease in calling our problems, and we don't have the same ease to speak and to be vocal, declaring the power, this is my miracle, declaring heaven's reality. And God has that power over your life. So what the natural says, it's so much different than what heaven says for you. So whatever you're going in the natural today that is limiting yourself, I want to encourage to lift up your mind, your heads, lift up your hearts, lift up your eyes and ask, Jesus, what do you declare over the situation? Not what I am thinking, not what I'm going through, not what's consuming my heart, but I want to see this as you see it. Amen? I want to call the true reality. That's why when we pray for the sick in this church, we say, hey, in heaven, there's no room for sickness or disease. So we are declaring heaven's authority, what Jesus did, the price that Jesus paid on the cross. This is what we are declaring over us. Amen? So your purpose predates your existence, the design that you carry, your characteristics, personality. God knows how he created you. Pastor Michelle and Pastor Harley said talked last week about how does God speak with you. He knows that some people hear the voice and recognize the voice of God in one way. Some other people recognize it in a different way. And sometimes we lose so much time because we stay in a place that we are lifting our heads to compare with other people that made their success, with other people that we say, oh man, that guy hears from God. And we keep comparing and said, no, God created you. He wants to speak with you. He has something so precious for your life. Amen? Little water break. If you have water, you can also have a water break or coffee break. So this order that is established in the principle is that whatever thing in the natural will always obey the voice of our Creator. We saw that as Jesus walked the walk. He calmed the storms. He restored conditions. The blind men started to see. So he aligned things into the proper order. Many things that we have not submitted yet to the authority that we carry, because I think that there are things that we are not seeing breakthrough because we have not submitted to the heaven's reality over our lives. And God is always inviting us to let go, to open our hearts. Like Onyeka was saying, he is in the room. And this morning, he is in the room and he wants to have an encounter with you, but Holy Spirit is gentle. He will never force an encounter on you. He will always rely on your yes, on your declaration. So that's why the best posture of our heart is to say yes and say, God, you know what? I don't want to accept what the natural reality is saying over my life. I want to accept the supernatural over me. Amen? So I'm believing that what stopped us as a church until today will no longer stop. I'm praying that this morning we will see breakthroughs. We will see people's lives changed. That we will be, like we've done Sundays before, we will be a house of miracles. We will be a house of walking miracles. But all of that depends when you Monday morning wake up and you face the giants of your Monday morning. And you always have an option to focus on them or to declare, I lift my eyes up. I will pray Psalms 121, 1 and 2 over me. And I'll declare, he is the maker of heaven and earth. I don't accept this reality. I will keep moving. I will keep advancing. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me. And like Onyeka was sharing from her own personal journey here, sometimes it's all about, and you see that David a lot in Psalms, he's declaring to himself. He's declaring to himself. I said in the beginning, we are all called to lead in this place. Number one, you're called to lead yourself. Number two, you're called to lead your family. And number three, you're called to lead in the marketplace or in the church, whatever sphere of work you work on, you're called to be an influence. And what Holy Spirit kept speaking to me is that sometimes number one is what's missing. We flip the order. We are trying to do all these things. We are trying to be on the go, do. But here's the thing. We need to lead ourselves. Go back to the source. Go back to the helper and seek the helper. And spend more time and let himself reveal to us the best way that God, for you to understand that you have a God that loves you, you need to be lacking love in the first place. In the best way for you to understand that God is almighty, he has all the strength, you got to be lacking strength in the season. That's how you actually experience God. More than just saying, you begin to know that he moves, because it's your story, it's your testimony. Always say that the day that Peter walked on the water with Jesus, 11 people left their place with a cool story. One left with a testimony. God wants you to experience and to leave your testimony. That's when you go ahead and you share the gospel. And Last men's breakfast, we had Andre sharing a lot of his stories when he shares the gospel on the streets. You're just sharing what you're experiencing with Jesus. It's not something difficult. It's just a reality. Whether the other person receives it or not, it's not your responsibility, because God is the one that is speaking on your behalf. But we can't be quiet. We can't leave and just depend. Our life cannot be out of balance. We cannot just be here on a Sunday and you're coming, you're just receiving. You're going to get lethargic. I saw a video this week. I love soccer. And what they did is there's like this big Brazilian meal called feijoada, which is like black beans, a lot of like pork parts. And 12 people ate a big, like two huge plates of feijoada, and they tried to play soccer right after. It's the worst game you could ever see. Like, people were moving slow. People were not doing what they were supposed to do. And I believe that our life with Jesus is either you're on one end that you're just like receiving, and nothing is leaving you. And we are meant to be streams of living waters. And a stream of living water has a source of water, an intake, but also has an outtake. But there's also a danger. Maybe you are just like giving, but you forgot to go back to the source. So if you look at the life of Jesus, you will always see this balance. He would go perform miracles, then go back into a place of intimacy with the Father and seek the Father and say, hey, fill me up, God. I need you to fill in my journey, my purpose on this earth. Amen? So we need to live in this balance. Verse 3 and 4, because I do want to take some time at the end so that we can be praying here this morning. Verse 3 and 4 says, he will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, the one who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. I think that sometimes we can be tempted to leave a faith that is bipolar. When things are going well, we trust that God is good. But when things decide or start to go in a way that we don't expected them to go, you're starting to doubt, is God really good in this situation? Is the word of God really true? Is what he said over my life really true? And he says here that he never sleeps. Man, anybody with young kids in the house know it's challenging to stay up, huh? Even last night, I had my oldest, I had to be in his room two times. And every time that I would try to leave his room, he said, Daddy, come stay a little bit more. I said, son, I don't know if I'm going to be preaching tomorrow, so can I go back to sleep? And eventually, I just fell back asleep with him once woke up at 4:20 this morning and said, oh, man, I better go to bed. And I left the room quiet. But I kept thinking this morning, it says God never sleeps. He's never tired. He's always an available source for us. Doesn't matter what you go through in life, he will always be there. And man, as parents, we know that we are not perfect. It's not easy. Let me tell you, it's not easy leading your own house, which we're also called to lead. Especially now that I have a 4-year-old and turning 5, I'm starting to see different challenges that I saw in the beginning. Some attitudes, some things you have to correct. Some people really remind themselves of those years, but it is different set of challenges. But we always got to remind that God is a loving Father that is always there, has never given up on you. He's always there to be your helper. He guards you. God is always awake. He always promises you protection. Amen? Verse 5. And I love this. This is actually my favorite verse in this passage. The Lord is your protector, and as a shadow that protects you, he is at your right hand. I think a different version says he's a protector. Actually the same version. Awesome. No problem at all. But lately, God has started to speak with me this whole concept of shadow and the importance. As a Brazilian who grew up in Brazil, beautiful weather like we had yesterday, like we're having today and tomorrow, and praise Jesus for the rest of summer, an amazing summer. I know some of you are not huge fans of the heat, but I am. And I grew up going to the beach. And one of the things that I carried was that little beach umbrella to protect me. And something that you want to know, especially kids don't understand this, is you cannot be exposed to the sun all day. Otherwise, you're going to become burnt. And taking a shower, falling asleep after is not a fun experience. So something throughout the day, the first thing that we would go into to the beach there, 8, 9 a.m. in the morning, we would put the umbrella up. And you know what? We're going to, throughout the day, the sun is shifting. So you got to shift the position or shift, even better, your chairs, because the beach is starting to crowd up, at least in Brazil. So you got to find room under that shadow because there is protection for you there. And one thing that can only, shadow is something, and I even wrote down so I better express, every shadow is generated from a light that shines on something. But every shadow will always have a limitation. You can see my shadow if the sun is shining on a few meters away, but you can't see my shadow from a few kilometers away. So in order to be under a shadow, you have to be near someone. And the Word of God says in a verse that you probably all prayed for your children or you probably prayed over yourself, Psalms 91, 1 and 2 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, whom I trust. The shadow speaks of someone that is projected, that is near you. And I believe that the same way as Holy Spirit came, and I heard this from Bill Johnson once, Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. Imagine yourself walking with a dove on your shoulders. You cannot do a brute movements, otherwise what's going to happen? The dove's going to fly away, right? So every step that you take, you got to be aware of Holy Spirit that is with you. In the same way, the shadow. Every step that you take in your life, hey, there's a shadow over my life. There's a protection over my life. I love what Proverbs 10:9 says, people with integrity will walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. I don't know about you. I don't want to be exposed in this season. I want to walk under the shadow of the Most High. I want to walk under His protection. And that's your choice. He's there to protect you. He says, I will never sleep. But He's waiting for you to invite. But sometimes even we know, like He knows that we are not the smartest always. He will protect you even when you're not in your most, in the best days of your life. He's always there as a protector for you. But I believe there's a sense that Holy Spirit and a revelation that He wants for you is that it is to walk under His shadow. Under the shadow of His wings. Another verse that says in Psalms, it says, because You have been my help, therefore in the shadows of Your wings I will rejoice. There is joy under the shadow of His wings. This is the right place He made you to walk. This is where. And He says in Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of Thy wings. Of course, the apple of the eye is this part. And even though I can try to hit my eye all day, I'm always going to be protected. This is how God protects us in this season. And He's inviting us and say, I want to walk. I want to walk according to Your shadow. And I know that You are always in the move. That's why our yes to His move is always important. I want to be walking where He is moving. Amen. And it says in this verse, Proverbs, people with integrity will walk safely. I was reading the meaning of this word integrity. And it talks about being complete, being full, being perfected. Another version of a relating passage that it gave is like, it's like you're furnishing a house. You're perfecting a house. So I believe this season, God is calling us as a church to walk into integrity. Amen. Another thing that I love about this passage is that It says in this verse, the Lord is your protector and his shadow protects you. He is at your right hand. Right hand. It speaks about authority. It speaks about what God has created you to do. He wants to sustain you. He's always protecting your authority and your calling over your life. So you don't have to worry about, and sometimes we worry, am I walking the right path? Am I going to the right place? Worry more and acknowledge more, am I under his shadow? Because if so, my right hand, my authority, my walk will be protected. Amen? A few verses following, Psalms 121, verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by light. The Bible here is saying that God will protect you from challenges of the day, but he will also protect you of threats through the night. If he's saying there are two kind of threats over your life, I believe it's because it has two different kind of threats over your life. There are some that will be visible to your eyes, some that you can manage, those that are going throughout the day, he will guide you in a certain way. But at night, when you're in rest, you're trusting, hey, God's got me. God has protection over my house. If you live in Brazil, you're praying, please, Jesus, don't let any robbers come into my house, rob me, steal all my things. It's sad, but it's true. Like, you're always, like, I remember walking in Brazil always in fear, you know? Even now, I'm going in August to Brazil. Like, I decide I'm not going to bring my Apple Watch. I don't feel safe driving with my watch. Phone, sometimes I grab. Nowadays, people always have a secondary cheap phone in their cars that they use for GPS in case somebody tries to break in the window. I'm painting a horrible picture. It's not as bad, but it is bad many times. It's not safe, but people try to, even my father-in-law, he keeps like a fake wallet with $50 inside. If robber comes in, hey, take my wallet. No IDs there, just you take my money, you know? But it's also, like, I really understand that word more in Brazil. Like, he's saving me from threats that I'm not able to see, from accidents. We have somebody, even Sergio here in this house, he texted me. I was chatting with him yesterday, and I don't know if you guys saw it this week. There was a construction worker injured after a shoring wall collapsed on Carling Avenue. Construction worker here. God protected his life. He watches over us when we come, when we go. He had probably just minor injuries, but he's here. He brought his daughter to church. So God is protecting us of dangers we don't know, we can't see. So this is the true helper that we got. Sometimes we think that we are good managers, that we're good controllers of our life. I know that Pastor Sean always says, and I agree 100% with what he says, that God is not in control, he's in charge. Amen. But also, I believe in something. We have the ability of giving God the control. We have the ability, because once he created the perfect garden, he put a tree of knowledge of good and evil, control over what's good and of what's evil. We see the results today of people trying to say what's good and what's evil, what has made to society. But we have the option, actually, you know, God, we believe that you're better in charge than I do, so I give you the control. I decide to surrender into Holy Spirit my life. My help comes from you. I want to walk into your shadow. And verse 7 and 8, to close us up here this morning, worship team can come up on stage. The Lord will keep you from all harm. We just had a live testimony here. He'll watch over your life. The Lord will watch your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This statement should free you from fear. Because if he gave a word from your life, he says, I'm not saying and I'm not promising that you're not going to have challenges in your life. No, but I'm saying is that in the midst of those very challenges, if you learn to recognize that I am there, you're going to get weapons that you need for the next season. People always use that reference, oh, God will never give me more than I could handle. more than I can take care. I believe one of the right interpretations of that passage is that whenever I go through something, God has already deposited the tools that I need inside of me to fight whatever challenges on my way. And life is made out of those challenges. So I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want to remind you, number one, that God is here. He's protecting you. If you're here this morning, you probably have a story or testimony of how Jesus saved. How many of you were in car accidents before? How many of you here were experienced different kind of things that naturally you were not meant to be here? And I believe that God brought you here. But more than that, He has, like the creator, like Steve Jobs created the iPhone, He created you. He knows all the tools that are inside of you. He knows all your best characteristics. He knows your best version. And one of the things that God has been speaking to me in this season is that our best version is during our worship. When we put ourselves in worship, in a position of worship, acknowledging, hey, you are the maker of heaven and earth. That's the best version of yourself. That's the true version of yourself. The true version of yourself is not your addiction. The true version of yourself is not your lack of healing. The true version of yourself is not your financial lack. The true version is your version in worship before the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who made you. He's your creator. He's your healer. He sent Holy Spirit to save you. Amen? And He desires, it's His desire that this morning you encounter Him. Amen? So we're going to sing Holy Ghost. We're going to sing Holy Ghost. This is Pentecost Sunday, and we are believing right now. I want to encourage you to leave all the distractions. Leave out of this door. Focus on this moment. Holy Spirit can touch you. If I know that it's a long weekend, we are short of some people, but if we have ministry team, I want to invite the ministry team to come forward here. If you're part of the ministry team or a leader in the house, you can pray for people. I'm also going to open the fronts. Maybe you're facing something that you believe that you need help. You need somebody to pray with you. Another helper that Holy Spirit's put in our lives is our community, is those that are around us, and Holy Spirit wants to use them. These people here, they have been praying for you throughout this week, so they know how to also pray, intercede for you, battle for you, work this season for you. So I want to encourage, as we stand, as we worship, if you have any specific requests, specific healing, specific areas we need prayer, feel free to walk down to the front. But other than that, just focus in the presence of Holy Spirit. Just exalt Him. Just exalt. He is in this room, and He wants to touch your heart. He wants to touch your mind this morning. This morning can be life-changing for you. Do you believe that? Yes.